Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the ever-dwelling Lord of life. Over the past few weeks, we've had the opportunity to explore how God relates to us and to the rest of the creation that he has made. God is the creator of all things. We are his creatures. We are dependent on his care, dependent on him for life and for everything that we need. And this dependence is not the result of our sin. It's actually the way God made us to be. Our dependence on God is not due to our imperfection. It's due to the fact that we are creatures, his creatures. And so, if we were operating as perfect creatures, exactly according to the design God has for us, we would be living every moment depending on him, trusting in him for all things, and then living in thanksgiving for all that he has done, and seeking to reflect his goodness, his generosity, and his care in our lives with one another. The source of our problem is not our state of dependence. Rather, it's our continual attempts to assert our independence from God, to not live by faith in him, but to seek to live life and to make things happen by our own strength and in our own power. For Adam and Eve, it meant eating the fruit of the tree that God had forbidden. For us, looks like all of our attempts to seek happiness and meaning in things other than God. It looks like all the subtle attempts we make to justify our existence by working to gain the approval and the acceptance of others, because at some level we believe that if we have their acceptance and approval, then our lives will have meaning. They'll be worthwhile. Looks like the ways in which we jam-pack our schedules full of things, even good things, thinking that life consists in an abundance of activity, all the while ignoring, like Martha, the one thing needful, hearing the voice of God, speaking through his word, giving us life in his Son and by the power of his Spirit. To a world full of people who are not content to live as the creatures God made us to be, God sends a Savior who comes to rescue in a surprising way. He sends his Son, God, from eternity, to take upon himself a human body and soul, to become a creature like us. In Jesus, the Creator God does what his broken and crooked creatures cannot do. And what he accomplishes for us in his life, his death, his resurrection, he gives to us as a gift of pure grace. In Jesus, we see the fullness of the love of God, the fullness of the faithfulness of God shown to faithless creatures. In Jesus, God opens up a new way, a way of life for those who will trust in him, who will receive him by faith. So if Jesus opens up this new way of life for us, the question becomes, how does God deliver Jesus and his life to us? This becomes the heart of the question that we explore today as we consider the work of the Holy Spirit. As I mentioned earlier, in the Nicene Creed, back formed about 1,600 years ago, the Church Fathers used a fascinating phrase to describe the work of the Spirit from the very beginning of creation. They say, "I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life." They and we, as we confess these words, we confess what the Holy Spirit has been doing from the beginning of the time, from the very first pages of the Scriptures, breathing life, giving life to us. He's present at the creation, hovering or brooding over the surface of the waters, signaling to us that life is about to be created. Interestingly, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word that we translate as spirit is a ruach. And that word spirit or ruach can also mean wind or breath. In the New Testament, the Greek word that we translate as spirit is pneuma. And that word also carries that kind of triple meaning of spirit or wind or breath. And so as we get the fullness of the understanding of these two words, we begin to see maybe a little bit more fully how God the Holy Spirit's at work, even from the beginning of time, even from the earliest pages of the scriptures. We see God form and speak things into existence, but how does the existence come into being? How does it come to life? How do the animals, the man and the woman, come to life? Well, we're told God breathes into them the breath, the ruach of life, and these become living creatures. The man and the women become living beings. You see, to have breath is to have life. To expire, to stop breathing, is to die. As the scriptures unfold, we continue to see the Spirit at work bringing life. Not just physical bodily life, but life with God. Life to be received by faith in His words, and that will become ever more necessary because of the fact that sin and death enter into the creation because of the choice of the first man and the first woman. God begins to reveal the way that He's going to restore what had become broken. How He's going to bring life where there has now been brought death. And so the Holy Spirit goes to work, breathing and appointing men and women who will speak God's words to His people. The Spirit anoints the prophets, the priests, the kings of old, to speak the words that God gave them so that God's people might trust that He's at work unfolding His plan to save us. And then, when Jesus comes as our Savior, the Spirit's there, at work, through Him, anointing Him at His baptism, descending on Him in the form of a dove, bringing people continually to faith in His words and His works, and empowering Jesus in His mission to save us. Jesus said as much in one of His first sermons. He gave it at His hometown of Nazareth. He had gathered in the synagogue with those that He probably grew up with. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah is given to Him, and we hear His words in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, as He quotes from the prophet Isaiah. He says about Himself, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." You see, Jesus speaks and He proclaims that God has given Him a work to do, and He's doing it by the power, by the anointing of the Spirit, preaching the good news to the poor, bringing sight to the blind, setting the captives free. Jesus, true God and true man, is winning for us forgiveness and life and salvation and freedom. The Spirit at work in Him is bringing that life and that victory of Jesus to us personally. We see a vivid picture of this breathtaking life of God at work through the Holy Spirit in the vision that is given in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. It's a very famous vision. The Spirit of God brings Ezekiel in a vision to a valley. And that valley is full of dry bones. It's obviously the scene of a great and a deadly battle that had taken place ages before, and now this valley is just scattered with bones. The Spirit speaks to Ezekiel, and He says, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Ezekiel responds, "O Lord God, You alone know." God speaks again to Ezekiel. He says, "This is what I want you to do. Prophesy. Prophesy to these bones, O son of man, and say to them, 'Hear the word of the Lord.'" And so the prophet Ezekiel begins to prophesy to the bones, and as he does so, there's this rattling. They come back together, and then flesh is formed on those bones, and yet they're not alive yet. Then the Spirit of God says to Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath or to the wind, and prophesy and say to it, breathe into the slain, O breath, that they might live. And the prophet Ezekiel speaks, and the breath of God, the Holy Spirit, enters into these bodies, and we're told that they stand up on their feet, a vast army. It's a stunning picture. God uses it to speak to his people of old and to us today to tell us that he is in the business of bringing life where there's only death, that he's in the business of bringing hope where there's only despair. You see, God's people of old had begun to believe that perhaps God was done with them. Ezekiel was speaking and prophesying at a time where they were in exile. They were in Babylon being disciplined for their sin. And it was very easy for them to believe that perhaps God was done with them. That his plan of using them to bring about his saving work was over. We've been cut off. Perhaps you know someone like that. Perhaps you've been there yourself, have experienced a dry period in your life where maybe you felt dead inside and you wonder, is God here? Is God at work? Has he forgotten me? God's word through Ezekiel to them and to us today is, I will do whatever it takes to bring you to myself alive again, even if I have to take you out of your grave to do so. Spirit is at work breathing life where there's death, breathing hope where there's only despair, and he does so to this very day, to a world that was and is too familiar with the staleness and the stench of death. God comes to throw open the windows, to breathe fresh air, new life into our lives. That fresh air comes in the form of his promises spoken to us, delivered to us through his word, guaranteed to us in his son. They're words that say, you are forgiven. God has justified you. He's made you right with himself through his son. God has welcomed you home. You are a new creation in Christ. These words of promise are for us now and for us into eternity. God speaks them. He stands behind them. And as we hear them, the Spirit breathes new life into our lives through them. And he breaks through the hardness of our hearts that we might believe them. We gather around a font as a child or an adult is brought to the water connected to God's word of promise. And in that moment, we perceive by faith that the wind of heaven is blowing, Spirit breathing new life, eternal life into a new child of God. We hear the word of God. We read it here or at home or as you go. And as we do so, the wind of heaven is blowing, the Spirit breathing eternal life through those words, cleansing our thoughts, cleansing our beliefs that by nature had become stale, smelling like death. We gather today around bread and wine, connected to God's word, the promise of our Lord Jesus, and we perceive by faith that the wind of heaven is blowing, the Spirit breathing life and working cleansing in our lives through Jesus' presence with us and even in us. And then, inspired and enlivened by that Spirit-inspired word of life, the promises that God is with us, that he has rescued us in his Son, that he is more than able to meet our need, that he is worthy of being trusted in all things, the Spirit sends us forth to be a breath of fresh air for others. Because how much of life is stale? How much of it stinks? As you read or see or hear the news on a daily basis, does that news invigorate you? Or does it cause you to sigh in disappointment? As you in your daily callings interact with someone who is driven by selfishness or neediness? Do your interactions with them cause you to feel alive? Or do they drain the life out of you? The world needs some invigoration, some fresh air. And you and I get to bring it. The Holy Spirit, God's breath of life, lives in you. It's a promise of your baptism. And as you and I speak words of life and hope in our callings at home, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces or schools, as we speak to the hope that is ours because Jesus is our Savior and King, the wind of heaven blows and the Spirit breathes life where there was death. And He brings a freshness where things have become stale. You see, from the beginning of time, God has been creating and breathing new life into His creatures. It's what He does. And the Holy Spirit is present with us here, doing the very same thing today. Hear His voice in the Word. Believe the promises He speaks in the water, in the bread, in the wine, and trust Him to breathe His life in you and through you for others this week as you remember, believe, and speak His words of hope. In Jesus' name, amen.